Open up to Psalm 55. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Father, we live in a time that we would call the last days. And we know the last days started when you ascended, Lord, to be at the right hand of the Father. And Lord, you've been tarrying and working in the hearts of men, in the hearts of mankind. Lord, reaching down, touching hearts, Lord, desiring that all would come unto you, Lord, as your word tells us, Lord. Lord, the days are dark, and Lord, as we read in the psalm here, Lord, the oppression seems great. Many live in fear in these days. Many are oppressed by what is happening in the world. There is a hope, Lord, that you offer. And Lord, it would appear to us that you proclaim in a very loud way, Lord, that it can be surprising that there's so many that by the darkness, Lord, they don't see it, they don't hear it. We know that it is the power of your Spirit that touches hearts. And we reach out to your very Holy Spirit, Lord, today to be touched by it, Lord. To desire it, Lord. And Lord, we pray for the hearts of mankind to be touched by that very Spirit today as well, Lord. The truth would come, that the goodness of your love, that unconditional love, Lord, would enter in such a way that would be undeniable, Lord. We know you have the power to do it and the will to want to do it, Lord. We can only ask, Lord, for your will to be done, and pray that it will be done in our hearts this morning, Lord, as we look at your word for understanding, Lord, that wisdom would come, that holy wisdom from above, Lord, that it would help us to respond and act in a manner of your choosing, Lord, not as men, but as children of God. We thank you. Speak to us now, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. We hear, I'm sure we've all been around for a while to walk in the Spirit. The emphasis this morning on that will be on the fruit of the Spirit. Paul in Galatians 5, if you want to turn there, speaks on this. I was looking at the fruit of the Spirit a while back, and I thought, given the opportunity, I would want to share on that. And the Lord has shown me quite a bit, and it's amazing how many rabbit trails, as you start studying and looking on the different things, and the Lord will show you. And There are things happening in my life and in an acquaintance that I have that I believe the Lord directed me in this book. It's over the years, because of certain legalisms and stuff and dealing with certain ones that are involved, and I would say even have become entrapped by legalisms, that I kind of always throw this book at them in a sense, without really sharing probably what I should share what the book says, rather than just say, have you read Galatians? Look at Galatians, you know. And the answers are there, but there are a lot of answers for me as well. And well, let's look and see. It's, I'm going to turn there myself, Galatians 5. And let's start out by reading here first. I want to start verse 16. Paul says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. I bet you we're all pretty aware of that. That struggle, that fight. You're born again. It's a constant battle. Just warring against the Spirit, our flesh is. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revellings, and such like of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do these such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, but that hits me pretty heavy. Because I'm very aware of probably all of these things. You know, I think given enough time on the planet, enough years of life, that we would be capable of probably all of these sins. If not right outright, somehow from the heart of our hearts, they would come to fruition. I want to look at Romans 12, 1 and 2 for a second. If you want to turn there, or just I'll read it. Because it's also one of the answers for us. Romans 12, 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A lot of things about the will of God. And this is one of those verses where it says, fulfilling the will of God. Can I ask them, what's the will of God for me? What's the will of God? Well, there it is. How we can be acceptable and perfect in the sight of God. Obviously, we're never going to be perfect until the day of the Lord, when we're complete in Him. So it's an ongoing work. We read on. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit, this is the good part, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, period. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So it kind of begins here and ends there about walking in the Spirit with these wonderful attributes of the Spirit. And you got the fruit of the flesh, fruit of the Spirit. I think we're all aware of the fruit of the flesh. That's why we came to Jesus. He got us to that point of knowing our need of our sinful nature, that we couldn't do it on our own. And you look at this list of the fruit of the Spirit, and men strive for these things in the flesh. And we don't need to strive for them. We've been given the Holy Spirit. And it's not a work that we do. It's a work of the Spirit. We need to desire these things. But let the Lord do it. How do we get there? We get there by our relationship with Jesus. You know how important it is to be in the Word? These fruits will never come if you're not in the Word of God, if you don't seek the Lord every day. When you leave the house, just to be about the house, just in what you do to take care of your household, the fruit of the Spirit can be manifest. But it's the time you spend with Jesus that these fruit will formulate. I don't know if you understand the fruit of the Spirit. You've been around and been through these things, you'll know that the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's love. It's all these other attributes that come out of that love. We can't do them on our own. It just can't happen. How often have you asked for the blessing of the Holy Spirit? Do you desire it? It's funny because something I read. Well, we all desire it. You know, yeah, Pastor, I want it. You know, bless the Holy Spirit. I want the power of the Holy Spirit. And I would say, as it was spoken to me as well, okay, so you desire it, but do you really understand what that is? The gentleness of Jesus. He's gentle. He's loving. He's caring. And I'm going to have to read it because I can't remember all those things that I wanted to share. The pure Spirit of God and the pureness of who God is. To be sane and pure and free. Be wisdom personified. Wisdom himself. Healing, the precious ointment to distill. The loving heart of God. Do you desire that? To give up who you are, the desires of your personal heart, to be really given over to his Spirit. That's giving up everything. That's the I surrender. I struggle with that. You know, I love to sing the song, I surrender. But man, if you don't have conviction in your heart when you sing that, I hope you're surrendered. Because if that happens, and if he ever possesses you, he will be the Lord of your life. As we say and sing, you know, be the Lord of my life. Do we really act on that? You're only as holy as you want to be. He's not going to give you more than what you truly want. He knows your heart. He knows your heart better than you know your heart. I can cry unto the Father. And I can feel the struggle in my own heart. I always think of that scripture, Lord, forgive my unbelief. That guard, just, you know, forgive my unbelief. And when I mentioned about, you know, it's your struggle, the Spirit's warring against the flesh, that's one of those things. You know, it's in your heart. We're aware of it, and we certainly know God's aware of it. We have the Holy Spirit. It is a wonderful thing that we have grace. We're justified by faith because of grace, not by any law. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, it says, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Walk in the Spirit. We have spiritual discernment. That's another thing to pray for. If you don't, we seek the Lord for spiritual discernment, for the sensitivity to be guided by His Spirit. I picked out some verses on the word walk, on the word walketh, for the ETH, and also wander. So I'm not going to read all the verses, but I'm going to give you the verses where they're found. Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit. Romans 6:4 says, walk in newness of life. Romans 13:13, walk in honesty. We also see that in 2 Thessalonians 4:12, walk honestly. 2 Corinthians 5:7, walk by faith. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And they're already ordained for us to walk in them. Look at Psalm 37, verse 23-24. I'm going to read it. I love this verse, as I've mentioned before. It was one of the verses that was given for us to study on a few years back when we went down to Laterno, a men's retreat. Verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he should not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. You know, we're engraving on his hand, you know. Allstate likes to say you're in good hands with Allstate. Well, you know, we're in good hands with God the Father. You know, and nothing can snatch us away from his hand. We're engraving. It's a done deal. Ephesians 4:1 says, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Children of God, called sons of God. You may not feel like you have a specific ministry, but you are called. You have been called. When you're born again, you're called. Called to be a disciple. Ministers of His love. That love, that's the fruit. The agape love, unconditional. Do you find yourselves balking at, you know, when there's all of a sudden an opportunity to help somebody, or maybe it means you have to step away from your chair from watching a TV program to just do some kind of a help? You struggle a little bit with that sometimes? Let the Spirit of God be the answer to that, so that fruit can come to fruition. It's difficult for us. God understands that. And that's why the emphasis is on being in the Word to take on the likeness of Jesus, so that we can walk in love, walk as children of the light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Walk by the same rule. One of the things that was sharing with Adam last night, we were talking a little bit. We're all born again. It's the same Jesus that we all are sitting before, sitting at His feet. So we should all walk in that same walk. You know, there's too many divisions in the body of Christ about how we understand doctrine. You know, the beautiful thing is about that we can really be happy about and smile about, have that bounce in our step, so to speak, is the gospel. It's just so pure and simple. Much to be desired. Doctrine is good for us. There's stability in it. We know that there's two laws that Jesus shared. God first, and love your neighbor as yourself. Quite abbreviated, but that's it. Love God first, the throne of your heart, number one. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's where the fruit of the Spirit comes in. It's that love. And then whatever's necessary joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Think about each of those. I would even encourage you to look at it later in the day or in your time of devotion, your time before the Lord. Think about each one of those. It's a good guideline to know where your walk is and how you're growing in the Lord. We don't have to look at the laws and follow the law. The law is bondage. The law leads to death. Grace is life. Grace is not a license to do what you want. There are those who say you can't live by grace alone and you got to follow the law. That's foolishness. Grace gives us liberty. If anything, it's a little harder to follow by grace. Can you pick up your cross and die daily? That's grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. He asks us to die daily. These fruits can be manifest then. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. You know what? My job has worked on my heart in every one of these. I've reflected on that maybe with some of you, but certainly over the years that I've been in the industry that I'm in, it tests you. It tests me. I don't know if it tests everybody, but the Lord has gifted me with a mechanical ability that, in a sense, I would take no claim to. I'm going to use the term very humble, but I'm not even sure it's that. I think it's more of a shyness and a what I would probably say a weakness, but it's a quality God has given me that I want to give to Him as an attribute that He's given me. It's who I am. And I want to be thankful to the Lord for it, that it's not something that's actually hindered me. It's actually helped me, I guess, you know, because it's taken me, it's blessed me to be able to have this job, you know, take me to retirement. But I'm still working a little bit, you know, because the people I work with are blessed with the abilities God has given me. So I continue on. And glory to glory. So, the joy, like Jesus said, the joy that's set before me. Not an easy road, but He was able to say that and shared that last night. The joy that was set before Him, He willingly went to the cross. Not my will, but Thy will be done. It's another prayer that we should have. Thy will be done, not mine. Oh, I'm sorry. Peace. How easy is it for your peace to be ripped away? Like I was sharing before worship there and the electronics and everything, I can become aggravated, you know, lose my peace, my job, machining. The Lord has done a lot with me in being long-suffering, to have a temperance, not to, you know, bang on something or throw something or just, you know, that's my just my temper of what I show, people stay away from me. Uh-oh, Dave's in one of those, you know. And it's interesting how that very thing comes to the forefront by some unsaved person bringing it to your attention, you know, and throwing it in your face, you know. And so how does that work on your temperament? But it's God's way of letting us know that, hey, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. Gentleness. Goodness. God's goodness leads to repentance. Are we able to show that goodness to people? Does it come forth when we're sharing? Is there goodness of God that really touches their heart? Not us, but the Spirit of God. Does our faith match up with our walk when we share? Is it a faith that's solid in the sense when we share, we don't come across like we're guessing or unsure, but it's solid. We believe it. And then, you know, delivering it through meekness and a temperance that when we're tested by responses that would just throw that knife into your heart of, we don't want to respond like that. Sorry for my loose leaf papers. I wanted to finish the walk scriptures I had for you. 1 John talks about walking in the light throughout the epistles of John. To walk as he walked. Walk in truth. Kind of goes along with what I was just saying. When we share and we talk, we speak, do we believe it? The ETHs, these are ongoing. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely. That's in Proverbs 10:9. Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Proverbs 14:2. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord. Proverbs 15:21. Folly is the joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. Proverbs 27, the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Now some of us, we have children, great. But when we think about that, his children are blessed after him. You know, we can think about the children that are in the church. We can think about younger Christians as children, you know, new believers. We walk in his integrity, it will bless them. It will show Jesus. Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved. Proverbs 28:18. Proverbs 28:26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. These aren't to be taken superficially, because they're in the Word of God. You read through them. It's easy just to gloss through them. It's like, yeah, cool, yeah. But there's a deeper meaning to them. They go much deeper. We think about deliverance. We'll be delivered. We're born again, we're delivered. We pray for those to be delivered. We pray to be delivered out of circumstances. It's a matter of trust and believing. Forgive our unbelief. It just keeps coming back to me. When we pray with a heart of hearts that the Lord will hear our prayer, that it's the sincerity of our heart. I'm going to be finishing up here, I believe. Colossians 2:6 says, "Ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." Colossians 4:5, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time." How do we redeem the time? Are we redeeming the time? I'm going to finish up with an emphasis on that redeeming the time. I'm going to read out of Revelations to finish, but this one more challenge for you guys from A.W. Tozer to just meditate on the Word of God for a month. Let the old saints be our example. They came to the Word of God and meditated. They laid the Bible on the old-fashioned handmade chair, got down on the old scrubbed board floor, and meditated on the Word. As they waited, faith mounted. The Spirit and faith illuminated. They had only a Bible with fine print, narrow margins, and poor paper. But they knew their Bible better than some of us do, with all the helps we have today. Let's practice the art of Bible meditation. Let us open up our Bibles, spread them out on a chair, and meditate on the Word of God. It will open itself to us, and the Spirit of God will come and brood over it. I love that when they sing revival in that part of the song, it talks about brood. You know, it has just a feeling to it. Thank you, Jesus. I do challenge you to meditate. Quietly, listening to that still small voice, that's my part, I added in. Reverently, prayerfully, for a month. Put away questions and answers and the filling in of the blanks, the blank lines and the portions you haven't been able to understand. Put all of the cheap trash away and take the Bible. Get on your knees, and if you say, "Father, here I am, begin to teach me." A lot of what I'm sharing today, remember, the Lord has spoken to my heart on these things. I'm trying to share it in a way to encourage you to seek the Word. The fruit of the Spirit is only going to start to be made manifest, as when you plant a fruit tree, you wait for it to grow and eventually it puts out fruit. Well, we get saved and we wait to grow. Wait on the Lord. Wait patiently on Him. Let him fulfill. I'm going to see what the Lord has to show us here in Revelation, because I believe we need to pray for those who may listen to this later. We'll pray for salvation. I want to read here in Revelation, sorry about the plural there. The revelations to me, I guess. So much being revealed to me. Revelations 21, I'm going to start in verse 22. "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." That's an awesome picture. "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine for it," or in it, I should say, "for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." Emphasis here on walk again. Verse 24, "And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light." The light of it, "and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut all day, at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, by they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Are you written in the Lamb's Book of Life? You can be. If there's any out there that'll listen, I'm going to share the answer to that. You can look in 1 Corinthians 15 for the pure gospel. Father, we come before you, Lord. I pray for those who would pray, Lord, that in the sincerity of their heart, I want to reach out to you now, Lord. Lord, please forgive me. Lord, enter into my heart. Take hold of my life and be the Lord of my life. Lord, forgive me the past, present, future wrongs, sin that would beset me, Lord. I pray by the power of your Spirit, as you enter in, Lord, you would give me strength over any of my weaknesses, Lord, that I could walk as a child of God, that I could have the belief in my heart, Lord, that I am written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that I have eternity with you now. And Lord, guide me. Lead me in your ways, Lord. May I walk in your Spirit. And help me to proclaim the good news as you have given me the good news and given me life. I want to proclaim it for you, Lord. So help me now, Lord. Pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.